And I want you to this morning, if you will, to turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And I want to read to you an account that is actually dealing with a message that Jesus is conveying to a Pharisee, but yet it centers around a lady that comes in and does a beautiful work in reference to Jesus. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36, and we've titled this message, What's Really Important? Have you ever asked yourself that question in life? What's really important? When you're growing up, there's a lot of things that you think is important. Every phase of life, there are different things that seem to be more important than others, and you kind of focus on those things. But yet, when it comes to life itself, what is most important? So let's begin reading with verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. The Bible says, And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat to meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me thereof, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to see the woman and saith unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs on her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say wherein themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith have saved thee, go in peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We do thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you. Whether it be here in the sanctuary or those that are viewing online. But Lord, I pray that we search our own hearts as you know our hearts, just like you knew the Pharisees. I pray, Lord, that you'll search our hearts, that we search our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone that just simply needs to draw closer to you, let's let the cares of this life, the problems of this life, and all these things take a forefront. I pray, Lord, that they'll focus on you as this woman. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning reading from a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 that says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with thy whole heart and with thy soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. The first thing I think about when I read this passage and begin to study this passage, preparing for this message, I realize that this woman really wasn't invited to this meal. She really wasn't invited. She was an invited guest. She didn't have a place prepared for her. She didn't have a place that was there that was going to feed her. But she entered the house anyway. Why was that? Why would someone that wasn't invited make it a point to come on the scene and do as she did? She knelt behind him at his feet. Similar accounts are found in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 29, verses 8 and 9, a gesture such as this, some might think that it was a total waste. Not only was it a waste of ointment or this perfume, but it was also a waste of time for someone to do so. Another account is recorded in Mark chapter 14, verse 4. And some might be concerned of the value of this ointment. In other words, the ointment was more valuable than what was taking place. In John chapter 12, verse 6, another account of similar fashion, Judas was one that was questioning and ultimately said, this type of fragrance or this type of ointment could have been sold and could have been given to the poor, but yet he was the one that was the money keeper. He was the treasurer, if you will. So in all three instances of this similar account, there was those that were that was concerned about it being a waste of time and a waste of ointment. There was others that was concerned about the value of the ointment, putting things above what was happening. And in the third account was the fact that Judas was questioning, saying that it could have been sold. But yet, in reality, I believe that he wanted to just simply pocket the money instead of giving it to the poor, as was mentioned. But no matter what someone else might think, or no matter what else might be happening around, this woman in this passage of Scripture thought it was very important to see Jesus. Very important to do as she did and to demonstrate. Many would look on her as an individual that was had made some very bad decisions in life. Decisions that would really make her a total outcast when it come into a presence such as this. But yet she thought it was important. And not only did she think it was important, she acted on what was important. There was a paper that I read, I guess it's probably been 30 years ago. It's called something like this, and I've got a copy of it somewhere. I'm just not exactly sure. I've got so many files and so many papers, it would be hard for me to find it right now, but I know I didn't throw it away. But it says the tyranny of chasing the urgent versus the important. And sometimes when we allow things to what we think of as of urgent things, we miss the important. And if we're always chasing these things, that we never in reality are seeing what is most important. The urgent things. I have to do this and I have to do that and this has got to happen and on and on and on. But in reality, in the writer of this article was saying that if you get the important, then you won't have as many urgents. This woman saw the importance in being with Jesus. People can live their whole lives always searching for something. Always searching for something. It's like it's a time in life that one is never satisfied. Always looking. Always, you know, if I get this, then this will be, you know, then this will, I'll be satisfied. And then it won't be long before that happens. Then you'll be looking for something else if you're not careful. I remember when I graduated from Piedmont Bible College, all I could think about was, because I spent countless hours studying and losing sleep and trying to get through school, and all I could imagine was I wanted to go somewhere and relax. That's all I thought about. I wanted to go somewhere, and we decided to go camping. And they had bought, from our graduation present, they had bought a reclining chair. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is it. So we went camping, and I believe it was, I can't remember where the campground was. I think it was up on the parkway. But anyway, I remember, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. And I sat down in the recliner, and I thought, I'm gonna relax. And less than 5 minutes, I got up to do something else. The point is, when we're always chasing, we never really see what's important. We never really see what's important. Others can put up a good front and make things look like everything is going really good on the surface, but in life it isn't. Jesus had told the Pharisee that in his presence, there were things that the Pharisee did not do, that this woman did do. He makes mention, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman. Since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet." And yes, he even made mention that her sins were many. Her sins were many, but she loved much. She loved much. You see, there isn't very much known about this woman, but yet we know the kind of life that she lived based upon what the scripture tells us. We don't necessarily know her age. We don't know, you know, what she looks like or any of those things. But yet there was a point in her life that she saw that Jesus was the most important. That Jesus was the most important. It was more important than the life that she was accustomed to. It was more important than the decisions that she made in life. And yes, she made some bad decisions. And she made some bad choices. And in the public's eyes, one would look down upon her as an outcast. The Pharisee, he questioned it. He questioned it, and he was the one that prepared this meal, and he was the one that invited, the Pharisees was the one that invited Jesus to eat, And so in reality, she wasn't invited, but she still became a part of it. And yet she became the center of a realistic approach of what is important in life. She was showing what was important to those that were around. And her life was getting ready to change because of what she saw as important. Let's look at this woman just for a few moments and let's see the sin that enslaved her. There was a sin that enslaved her. Verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." So we know that she was a great sinner. We know that her lifestyle and her choices in life, she was a sinner. She was one that would be, enslaved in this sin. The kind of sin that it would be hard to get out of, because as people looked at her, they would look on her as an outcast. We don't want her to be part of our life because of the life that she lived. She was a sinner, and it even makes mention that she was a great sinner. And when they looked on her, they would see a great sinner. But so many times when we look on individuals, if we're not careful, we look on individuals as comparing to where we are. And that's ultimately what the Pharisee was doing. They were comparing. But I challenge you this morning, as we live our life and as we seek the important, that we compare ourselves to a holy God, and will everyone be great sinners? Will everyone be great sinners? Because it's not to compare ourselves to someone else, but it's to compare ourselves to a holy God. She was looked upon with others. She knew very well her life. She knew very well of the decisions that she made. She knew very well that the things that she did wasn't right, but she entered the house anyway. And that's important for us to understand that, and that's why I made a mention in the very beginning that she wasn't an invited guest, but she saw it was so important in her life. Even though it was known as a great sinner, she saw it was important to be with Jesus. Important. No one needed to tell her what she did wrong. It's very easy to pinpoint and start talking about someone and start talking about, well, you did this and you did that and you did so on and so forth. You know, nobody needed to tell her her life. No one needed to tell her her life. No one needed to convince her that she needed Jesus. Her life and her choices and that path that she was on was no longer important. What she thought was important, because you see, she didn't start out of like many. When people start down that wrong road, they don't intend on staying. But yet life drags them to the point as this woman. Her life and her choices was no longer important to her. But yet what was important was Jesus. What was important was being in His presence. You see, what's really important in life? What's really important? So many times the things that we chase, and so many times the things that we think is so important, yet those things will soon pass away. But what matters is the important. But number two, look at the faith that encouraged her. The woman had great faith because she first went into a house that she wasn't invited. Second, she was around the Pharisees, which would be considered those of religion. And in third, her faith, because she went straight to Jesus and started anointing Him. She believed that it was so important to get to Jesus. And she knew the cost would be great. But she did it anyway because of the importance. The important thing to her was the presence of Jesus. The importance to her. So what did the woman do? Verses 37 and 38 says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat with the Pharisees' house, brought this alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with her hair over her head and kissed his feet and anoint them with this ointment." You see, she knew. What did she know? She knew Jesus was there. That's important. She knew Jesus was there. Number two, she brought. What did she bring? Well, the Bible says that she brought this ointment, but I want to add one more thing. She brought her life. She brought her life. She came just as she was, this great sinner, and yes, she brought the ointment and this perfume type stuff. She brought that, but yet she brought herself because she was the one that had to carry that. So it's important for us to see this morning that as we're searching the important and we're figuring out what's important in life is the fact that she knew what was important. She brought her life. She brought her most valued possession. And then when she became in his presence, she began to weep. It meant something to her. It meant something to her. Her life, her bad decisions, her sorrow, her heart was all getting ready to change because of Jesus. Was all getting ready to change. And she began to weep because she was in the presence of Jesus. She began to weep. Was she weeping about the bad decisions? Was she weeping about her life and where the road that she was on? Was she weeping about she felt the presence of Jesus and the fact that he could do something for her? There's a lot of reasons that she could be weeping, but I will say this, I don't believe that she was weeping on what she left behind. She wasn't weeping on the cost of this ointment. She wasn't weeping. She wasn't weeping on what her life had been in a sense of, I'm giving it up. You know, I've talked to people before in the past and there would be people say, well, I just can't live it. When you're talking to them about their salvation, and they'll say, I just can't live it. Well, the realization is we don't live it, but he lives in us. That's the difference. And there's others that saying, I'm afraid I'm going to have to quit everything. I'm afraid my life is going to change to the point to where I'm not going to have any fun anymore, when in reality, just as this woman, when in reality the decisions that you made will take you down the road of destruction. And you'll constantly be chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing, trying to find happiness, when in reality what this woman did brought her more joy than anything that she could ever achieve herself. She wept. She knelt. She had to kneel at his feet. And the thing I think about that is the fact that she gave up pride. Do you realize that so much pride can cause a person to go into the life of destruction? She wasn't worried about anything else. She just wanted to kneel at the feet of Jesus. A humbled position. She wanted a change in her life. And then she began to kiss him. He allowed her to kiss his feet. Jesus allowed her to kiss his feet. What really matters in life? What is the most important thing in life? Is it our hopes? Is it our dreams? You understand this, and we all understand, but life can change in a moment. Life can change in a moment. Life can change to the point of we deal with things that we don't know. We don't know the future. Life can change, and it happens every single day. And life will never be the same, but yet what really matters? What really matters? Let me tell you what really matters is the love that she encountered by being with Jesus. That's what's important. The love that she encountered. She received the Lord's approval. Verses 44 and 46. And he turned to the woman and saith to Simon, seest thou this woman? In other words, he's given this example to this Pharisee and said, look at this woman. She entered in your house. She wasn't invited. And you didn't give me no water for my feet, but yet she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but yet this woman, since the time that I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet. And he anointed with her gift. You see, she had the Lord's approval. That's what's important. She had the Lord's forgiveness. That's what's important. When he said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. That's important. She had the Lord's assurance. That's important. I tell you what, the Lord's assurance is one of the most important things as we deal with life problems, is having that assurance. Claiming the verse, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The verses that says you are kept. You see, that's what we have in the Lord. That's what's important. And she encountered that love from Christ. She had that assurance and says, thy sins are forgiven. Can you imagine? And I hope you can, because ultimately, when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we understood that our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. And I think probably, as we talk about the important, is that peace that he gave her. Verse 50 says, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I believe that when we truly experience that peace that the Bible talks about that passes all understanding, we'll understand that's what's important. That's what's important. You see, in this journey of life, there's a lot of avenues that we can take. In this journeys in life, we could even, if we're not careful, we could be such as the Pharisees, and we can prepare a place and we can prepare all those things. But yet in preparing those things, we lose sight of what's important. But this woman, she saw what was important. An uninvited guest, a great sinner, she gave him everything. And in return, he says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You see, we need that peace this morning. We need that peace in our life. And although there's turmoil in every, you know, we don't have to look very far to see turmoil. We just have to step out the door and look out, and we'll see turmoil everywhere. But what we need to focus on is the peace. That's what's important. the peace that Jesus gives. And at the end of the day, at the end of life, at the end of this journey, what's important and what is most important is our relationship with Him. That's the most important. That's all that matters, is our relationship with Him. Things come and go. Plans change. Things happen. But what is most important? What is most important? And I believe this dear woman, who was looked upon as an outcast, in reality, showed what was most important. And she left with that peace that passes all understanding. You see, things, our life gets foggy sometimes. Life gets, you know, in turmoil sometimes. And we get pulled in a lot of directions. And we chase the urgent. We're all guilty. We chase the urgent. But what we need to be focusing on is the important. And the important is Jesus. The important is Jesus. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If you seek Him with thy heart and with thy soul. You see, that's what's important. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, I pray that You'll help us this morning. Lord, You know our hearts better than we know ourselves. And Lord, as we have this invitation this morning, I pray if You've spoken to a heart in any way, I pray that they'll be willing to come. And Lord, in reality, just as You already know, sometimes we are troubled about all the things that's around us and we chase the urgent. But yet help us to do as this woman. And help us to be found at the feet of Jesus, giving our all, giving our life, putting our faith in You. So, Father, as we have this invitation, we ask that You speak to hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.